So it revolves around the evolving meta. I'm Jake, that's Sean. Welcome on in. Happy post-Pokemon Day. This is the first podcast episode after Pokemon Day. So, Sean, did you watch it when it was, like, airing?
No, I did not watch the Pokemon Presents when it aired. I watched it, like, maybe an hour after it aired.
Me too, because it was, like, 6 a.m. my time, and I wasn't going to wake up for that.
Oof.
No offense.
No, I was not able to watch it, but I watched it soon after, and I was, there's some news. There's some news.
There's some good news. Sean, did you also get any of the goodies that they had for Pokemon Day? Did you try to go and get some?
I unfortunately was not able to make it out. I will say this. My basement construction is now complete.
Let's go!
So maybe the next time we record, I will be back to my, you know, normal surroundings. And yeah, so that, but I had to stay home on Pokemon Day as that finished off all the way until 11 p.m. at night. They were there finishing.
Oh gosh, 11 p.m. Yeah. I went to my local shop, and Pokemon actually didn't send them anything for Pokemon Day. And it, in the like promotion thing, and maybe this is something that we didn't even cover, it says select stores and select leagues. So I don't know if there was like a requirement for your like league size or store size, or like I know in like Bandai that stores and leagues have like different levels, right? Like you could be like a gold level or a silver level or something. I don't know if Pokemon has that.
Pokemon has, I don't know, they do kind of have that, in that you start a store and you can have a league. That's one thing. And then after you have a league, you can qualify to do challenges. And after a certain number of challengers, you qualify to do cups, right? And so that is sort of a tiering system for the individual leagues and stores. So, but, you know, I don't know the store that you normally go to. Does the store you go to run events the size of a league cup?
Yeah, I would say it's the more famous Las Vegas local there is.
Yeah, then I have no idea why they wouldn't have. I don't know what the distinction would be. That's really weird.
I don't know, but I tried to get the statue and the die, you know, but unfortunately, maybe it'll be sent later. No dice. Anyways, hopefully you were able to get some. There were some really, really cool things. You can listen to last week's episode and watch it to get the full rundown on stuff. But today we've got a lot to talk about with Pokemon Day. Some stuff that has been announced for the Pokemon trading card game, but also potentially some things coming in the future that we can somewhat distinguish, as well as a lot of talk around post-rotation, you know, decks in post-rotation, stuff like that. Because I'm going to be honest, Sean, we're probably not going to talk about the, or wait, no, at the time this episode airs, we're Utrecht in Europe, the regional, it's happening this weekend. We're not talking about the results because according to us, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. We're recording this early.
Yes.
For you know, people who might want to.
But I am ready for just a new format.
Same. So yeah, today is just going to be talking about what the cards we're losing, the decks it might affect. And then in the future, we'll do our temporal forces set review. And then following that, just sort of looking again at like what we think are the best decks. And that'll obviously be a post-rotation look.
Mm-hmm. So going into the first topic of today, and the big, big news of the Pokemon Presents on Pokemon Day is they announced the new game, or I guess teased is more accurate. Pokemon, yeah. Pokemon Legends A, or Legends ZA, if I can speak things correctly, coming to the Nintendo Switch in 2025. Now, if you don't know what Pokemon Legends is, it's a relatively new spinoff that Pokemon did with Legends Arceus, right? That's why we like got back into like Arceus V-Star and things like that in the trading card game. So they've announced a kind of second game in this spinoff type series. And so this is going to be all in Lumios. I don't know how to pronounce it, actually. City over in Kalos, so Generation 6. And is going to be aimed where the urban redevelopment is progressing with the aim of creating a city where humans and Pokemon can go coexist. End quote. Sean, you didn't play Legends Arceus, did you?
I did not. I know bits and pieces, and I will say I also didn't play Pokemon X and Y, mm-hmm. which is what this game... Like, if Arceus was based on Diamond and Pearl?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then, so, like... Yeah, so this one is based on X and Y is what it's sort of referencing.
It's funny because when X and Y, I think X and Y is like the only not recent generation to not get like a remake or DLC, which is so weird to me. So it's really cool that this is coming back, but people theorized for 10 or so years, you know, that with Pokemon X and Pokemon Y, right, the next game is Pokemon Z. So now we officially have Pokemon Z in here. But the reason that we're talking about this and bringing it up in this conversation is not just because I'm excited about the game and maybe we'll convince Sean to at least touch it, but this is, they tease the idea of bringing back Mega Evolutions. Mega Evolutions is a mechanic that was previously in the Pokemon trading card game.
Yeah, I mean, we have... This is what's interesting, right? We had Mega Evolutions as part of the XY era of cards, mm-hmm. right? And then, remind me, did... During the black and white era, is that when we got the original lowercase EX cards?
I know Pokemon Black during... and... I don't know if Pokemon Black and White gave us the lower EX cards. I know that they gave us the first... No, I know that Black and White gave us the first full art cards, because Reshiram and Zekrom were the first full art cards, but...
Well, regardless, I'm getting my mind twisted, but point being, XY Evolutions, like that whole XY era, they had Mega Evolutions in the trading card game. And so the return of Mega Evolutions here, and the fact that it is something different, right? Like there was a Mega Charizard X and a Mega Charizard Y in the card game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be interested to see if they bring out a Mega Charizard Z and maybe a Mega Charizard A in the card game next year.
I would.
That might be their new thing.
I would bet a lot of money that it'll at least be Pokemon or like Charizard Z, but I don't know about Charizard A. That seems like a little bit too much, but you never know when it comes to the Pokemon company. We always don't expect another Charizard card, another Charizard type, and then all of a sudden we do get one. It's like the first one revealed, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the reason I'm thinking that, Jake, is like in Scarlet and Violet, because next year we'll still be in the Scarlet-Violet era of like both the TCG and technically the mainline game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's interesting. I think Lumios, my guess is that this is going to be set in the future from X and Y, because they're rebuilding the city, right? Whereas Legends Arceus was set in the past. But I'd be kind of interested to see. They called it not just Legends Z. They called it Legends Z-A.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes me think, like, okay, well, Z is the end of the alphabet. A is the first. Is this going to come to fruition of, like, future and past? Future Pokemon, ancient Pokemon. I don't know. There's, like, there's something in that world in my mind.
It's curious, and I'm curious of what is going to come, because like my first knee-jerk reaction in Pokemon X and Y is, you know, the character AZ, right, from the trading card game?
I have heard of it. I don't know what the character card does, but I know of the character, yes.
So my first knee-jerk reaction was that ZA was going to be about AZ and his Floette, right? And because that's a big part of the story that I think can get fleshed out a ton. But then the more that I thought about it with like redevelopment and things like that, I thought of the idea more towards the future. But the official thing, the press release saying urban development is progressing with the aim of creating a city where humans and Pokemon coexist. I feel like urban redevelopment, but with the idea where humans and Pokemon coexist, I'm not 100% sure if it is going to be like future or past, because I kind of see that and think a little bit of the past, right? Of like when the city was first built for the game. So I'm not 100% sure, because Zygarde is also kind of like a futuristic Pokemon. So if I was a betting man, I would bet the future, but a little bit of part of me wouldn't be surprised if it's the past. I know that's a very like neutral take.
It's a weird one. Yeah, I guess, look, we only have one example of a Legends game to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either you or I are like super experts on the XY franchise, you know, like the stories.
I will say XY is some of my least favorite Pokemon games, so I'm excited that they're getting remade.
But like, it may be that the entire Legends format, it always takes place in the past. Like, mm-hmm. In theory, like that could be like how they see the game. So it may be, but I just, it's interesting. They chose not to just call it Legends Z,
mm-hmm.
but like Z, like why two letters, you know? Anyways,
there's gotta be something in the main story around that. And I just kind of want to talk about the old mechanic of Mega Evolutions. Quick. So in Pokemon Mega Evolutions, when Pokemon used to Mega Evolve, it would end your turn. So like you would, for Rayquaza, you would evolve into Mega Rayquaza EX, and then your turn would end. Unless you had this tool card, which at the time was an item card, called a Spirit Link. And so the Spirit Link, you attach it to your Pokemon, and then you evolve, and the Spirit Link basically says your turn does not end when this card evolves into X Pokemon. And I believe all of the Mega Evolutions had those, and so it'll be curious to see if they bring back this specific mechanic. We recently had VMAX, right? VMAX Pokemon, and that's kind of like a Mega Evolution of sorts almost, right? Except you can have as many VMAXes as you want in a game. So, I don't know. But that didn't end your turn. So, I would imagine that they'll probably have some sort of spirit successor to that. But time will tell when that will come. We won't even see these cards until 2025. Like, if this is a Pokemon game coming out in 2025, is that fall of 2025?
I mean, they didn't specify. There's a lot of speculation because it talked about, you know, being available on all systems. And, like, does this come out when the new Switch comes out in March of next year, most likely? Maybe it would be – there is some logic to say that this would be a good title for Nintendo to launch alongside a new system. The same way that they've launched – like, they're not going to launch a new Zelda game because they just did Tears of the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Or you think they won't.
they won't. Are you sure? I know they won't. I will put money on that. It's too soon.
All right.
But I will say that like there could be a Mario game in the pipeline. For the most part, they usually want to launch with one or two headline titles
mm-hmm.
that they know are going to help sell the console. And Pokemon is just such a cash cow for them. Like, it's Pokemon, Mario, Zelda, right? Like those. There might be another one, but really. Those are the big ones that whenever they launch a new console, it's one of those three nowadays. So I could see it happening in March, and March is now our timeline for that releases. Temporal Force is coming out in March. So there's a world in which this launches March of next year. We get the first set March of next year that has Mega Evolutions in it. You know, kind of like we had Brilliant Stars with V-Star Pokemon. You know, this next year it'll be our time, but
Do you feel like in the past, and I don't have this like date alignment in front of me, so I could just be making stuff up, but do you feel like stuff Like, so when Brilliant Stars released, was that at the same time as Legends Arceus, pretty much? Because I feel like, and this is just me recalling it off my head, so I could be wrong, but I feel like with, like, battle styles and stuff, there was always kind of, like, a window of time where they didn't co-align, like, a couple months. Like, the game would come out, and, like, a set would come out, but then stuff about that game wouldn't come out until the next set, like a couple months later. I could be wrong about that. That's just my, like, that's my so first.
I will say this. Your inclinations are not fully wrong if you go further into the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the correlation between when Scarlet and Violet released the game and when ancient and future Pokemon were introduced.
Yeah.
Like, technically, Moraidon is a futuristic Pokemon, and Coraidon is a...
Well, I think ancient and future Pokemon are just, like, part of the game in general.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, mm-hmm. for Brilliant Stars, that released in February of 2022,
mm-hmm.
and Legends Arceus released in January. So there wasn't much of a gap there.
Okay. So I'm just crazy.
No. I think in the past... Yeah, there probably was more of a gap, and I think that as a franchise... franchise, they've gotten more deliberate on aligning launch windows, is my guess.
Mm-hmm. I would say it probably aligns better with Japan.
And then, typically, yeah.
And then we're getting closer in alignment, to my understanding. Dragon Ball TCG is first set simultaneous worldwide release. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but, you know.
It's pretty cool.
Kind of surprising, but, you know, Bandai, they recognize. Bandai recognizes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Anyways, we're a Pokemon podcast, though, and now, speaking of more specific Pokemon trading card game news, the Pokemon Presents also featured a new game coming in the Pokemon trading card game called Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket, releasing later this year for iOS and Android. It's essentially a card collecting app. Now, in this app, you can open virtual booster packs and collect digital Pokemon cards. It's not really NFTs, but the first thing that I thought of was NFTs. But anyways, you can also trade cards in the app. It's classified as a free-to-start app. You can open two packs per day at no cost. And it says... And I don't know if this is like a direct quote from the press release that was given to PokeBeach.com or, you know, this is them just kind of beefing it up a little bit, but it specifically says at no cost. So there is an inkling that eventually maybe microtransactions will be in this new app of sorts.
Yeah. But something they did say is it's a free to start game.
Yes. Yeah.
So not free to... Not inherently always free for everything, but you can certainly get started and get a level of free stuff every day.
Mm-hmm. And so within there, you know, the cards feature 3D effects in there. Also immersive cards. So allows you to dive deeper into a card's artwork. And they have an example on the PokeBeach article, which is really cool. Basically just like kind of, you know, we see the stories of some cards, like the thing that I think of is the X and Y, like Inkay and Meowth, right, with the fruit.
Yep.
You know, one of the stories, I think it's Black and White, the Charmander, Charmeleon, Charizard growing up with their trainer, right? These, like, kind of card illustrations that tell a story. And I think this is basically, for some of them, just like a little mini movie, you know, a little thing to help appreciate that more. What this will also have, which is curious to me, it will also have brand new cards that only appear in the app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand that, especially if, you know, I don't know if these cards are the ones that have immersive features that you can dive further into.
They'll at least probably have the 3D effect.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're interesting. This, like, you know, only digital version cards. They can play around with art styles and effects that maybe wouldn't translate well to a printed version. Whether that's like certain contrasts or certain, you know, foil quote unquote effects. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be fun. I'm sure there will be lots of people who, you know, see one of those arts and say, oh, I wish they turned this into a real card.
You can't tell, Sean, but I'm raising my hand. I want Lapras and the Meowth so bad.
Yeah, that Meowth especially is just gorgeous. Like,
mm-hmm.
I assume that this is the reason they showed this is a digital only art. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll do like, you know, a special release in the future if this is successful where you can get real versions of select digital only cards, like a special box set or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be crazy.
Many of the cards in this app use the actual illustrations as far back as base set, but that doesn't mean that the cards will be the exact same. Some of them have completely different stats. So they show in the picture in the app, there's the base set Slowpoke, one of my favorite Slowpoke cards of all time. Just truly iconic. It's at 70 HP in this, with the original card being 50 HP, as well as some other differences in stats, and even more of the new cards. So the illustration contest Gardevoir that was printed, one of the last like fairy type cards, I feel like, that was printed, 130 HP fairy type in real life as a promo, but in the app it's 110 HP psychic type. So some differences in there in those, and you may be curious about why it is that way, but it's because that players will be able to engage in quick battles with streamlined rules of the Pokemon TCG battle system, pretty similar to the My First Battle products that we have talked about on this podcast. You know, I think did My First Battle win an award?
No, or that was Battle that Academy.
Oh yeah, Battle Academy. But anyways, this app is going to be directed towards the very, very, very casual player base and people, you know, that are probably just around to just collect the cards primarily. And I would imagine that probably through these battles, you'll get some sort of awards. That's not confirmed. That's just my assumption, because why else would you have the battles in there, you know? But I think the best way to think about this for people that have played other card games is this is a very similar situation to Duel Links, right? Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links. I think that Pokemon and TPC, that's another thing. This is a TPC project, the Pokemon Company product in Japan. They're trying to get inside that market of the casual players a little bit more with the actual game itself. So yeah, Sean, how do you feel about this overall?
I'm not going to knock them for trying something, to be honest. I'm mm-hmm. like, I think that your point about Duel Links is good. I don't know if Yu-Gi-Oh has another card collecting / game app that works for mobile.
Mobile? I don't know, but I know they have Master Duel.
They do, but mobile is for me the thing that matters, because Pokemon TCG Live was designed to be a mobile first experience, right?
It's definitely a mobile cook experience.
Well, sure,
but your battery.
If you look at like the actual design of the app, the choices that they made, mm-hmm. I think they went into it saying, "We're gonna have the largest player base. We're gonna, you know, get more players if we focus on mobile as the primary platform."
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an interesting one to me, because this is a clear, I imagine there are people in the North American side or the Western world side of Pokemon that are sitting here like smacking their foreheads, because they've probably been pushing to get a mobile game for years. Finally, they went out, made their own from, like, you know, the work that they'd already done on ECGO, spent years developing that. And like, what does Pokemon TCG Live allow you to do, Jake?
It allows you to collect, battle, not trade though.
But that's hilarious to me, because the original TCGO did allow you to trade, which is kind of
and it was awful. It was terrible. It was
The trading experience was awful in that game.
Mm-hmm. I am very thankful for the dusting system. If they did one thing right, it was that.
Yeah, I think it, from the perspective of like people who want to play the full game, the dusting system is better. But overall, like you can do most of the things that you can do in this already. Like you can get free packs just by participating. Like so. As much as I'd say, like, look, throw everything at the wall, see what sticks. This is certainly a lot, like, lighter touch. Like, you don't need to get that deep into it. You can spend 10 minutes a day with this app, whereas I don't think people spend 10 minutes a day on Live, right?
I don't even have it downloaded on my computer anymore.
Well, but, like, I think if people are using Live, they're spending more time on it. But this is meant to be like, oh, you're only spending, like, 10, 20 minutes a day max.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different world. I'm sure it will appeal to some people, but I the collective groans and sighs that came from the Pokemon Company International when they found out about this and part of this release, I will say I want to empathize with that crew because they've been working hard to make something like this happen for years. And man, this is annoying, I'm sure.
I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I hate this. It's a terrible idea. Things like that. Because I do think that it's like after thinking about it a little bit more and seeing people's conversations and thoughts about it, I do think it's a good idea. Right? Because if you think about the difference between TCGO and TCG Live, again, about the whole trading, I mean, I made the joke about trading. It's true. Like for a casual player, the only thing that you can do is collect. And it feels like a lot of times that the Pokemon TCG Live doesn't fit that incredibly, or it's not niche at all. The player base is actually niche, but Pokemon TCG Live doesn't fit that mold of a casual collector, I think is the biggest thing. Like a vast majority of people do not care about the game at all, do not care about battling, do not care about deck building, things like that. That is such a small and minute set of people that do care about that. So getting a app that is more geared towards that player base or collector base, I guess is a better way to put it, not necessarily player base, and giving them more experiences, like, you know, you can battle and it'll probably be for extra rewards and stuff, but there's also these really cool things where you can appreciate the cards more, right? That 3D effect that we were talking about, you know, that's a really good way. I mean, how many times have I talked about where a card is like, oh my god, I love this art, it's so pretty, or whatever, even though we're an audio podcast to a lot of people, you know, talking about the art. But and then as well, just like the trading, right? Trading comes back in here to be able to do that. You get illustration stories, as we talked about, you know, like little backstories of these arts to appreciate a lot more. I think this is really, really good in trying to get like more people engaged. And maybe the My First Battle kind of style of, you know, being on the app and stuff is going to be really good, and maybe project a couple more people into, you know, Pokemon TCG Live, where you want to play. But there's a couple things that I don't like about it. One of them is that there are going to be so many. There's like a mass exodus of people off of Live now, I feel like. Because like I mentioned, there's a huge subset of people that just play Live for the collecting aspect, for the not the battle aspect at all. So like, yeah, this is kind of cooler in my opinion. You know, if you don't care about the battling or the game and stuff like that, this is way cooler. And so I fear of this, and this is the snowball effect thinking or whatever, you know, way less people playing, right, Pokemon TCG Live in the eyes of the Pokemon Company. not gonna bode well for the future, I feel like. Not saying that it's gonna be the doom, but it's not going to help, I think, yeah, in a sense.
I'll be interested to see what happens. I think what Live has going for it is code cards,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you are a collector and you're already getting these code cards, and whether or not you like playing the game all that much and you want to collect, you're already spending the money on the packs, so you can open up the packs online with your code cards effectively for free, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that person will necessarily transition to Pocket and abandon Live. I will also be interested to see, like, I don't know who this is targeted at, right? Certainly it's targeted at the more casual fan, but
I think it's also targeted to younger people, if I had to take a guess.
That would be my thought. However, microtransactions in Europe and in the West,
yeah,
I don't know how it is in Asia, but like, they're not as positively looked upon when it comes to people under the age of 13. So I don't know, like, even though like this feels like it would be a great way for parents to say, hey, we know you love Pokemon cards, we are not going to be buying you packs and packs and packs, right? We can't afford it, we don't want to, whatever that might be. But you can give your kid the same experience. Now look, opening two free packs a day is not nothing, but
that's more than I open on a daily basis. You know,
I suppose, but like, I think you will have these experiences depending on how many cards are in the sets and everything, where the kids with more money effectively are going to be able to build up these massive collections of cards. And I don't know, you'll just have the same effect that you have today, where kids feel pressured to ask for money. But I mean, look, I don't know what it'll end up being. It feels like a good idea in a vacuum, but the existence of TCG Live for me is like this weird, like, I don't know how they coexist. I really don't.
Well, I do, from the conversations that I've seen online from some of the more official people, say that like this is a TPC project, while TCG Live is a TPCI project.
You're 100%. That's why I was like, the people at TPCI are rolling their eyes when they heard about this, because I can guarantee you they've been fighting to get an internationally, like a full Pokemon company card game app for probably the better part of a decade. In Japan, you know, the Japanese arm of the company has been very staunch in not wanting that.
I don't know. I mean, it'll be curious to see. Again, like, this is supposed to come out later in 2024, so it's like there's still plenty of time. There's still a bunch of stuff that we don't know, right? In terms of what this game is actually about and things like that. So it'll be something, Sean. But is there other things that you want to get into before we jump into Temporal Forces?
There's just one piece of news. Yeah. There's just one piece of news. If you go to that Star City Games thread.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Pokemon related, but it also is Magic the Gathering related. So, Jake, there is a set coming out later this year called Bloomburrow, which is a Magic the Gathering set.
Mm-hmm.
And that entire set, the whole theme of it, that there are no humans in the set at all, like on the cards, anything. It's all creatures. It's all animals, woodland creatures, whatever. We don't know all the details, but the whole thing is it's all animals. And what I found so interesting, somebody found this, which is, if you click on this Angry Bear card, Jake, there is an artist's name at the bottom there that should be very familiar to Pokemon. Yeah. Yeah,
one of the more notable Pokemon trading card game illustrators since Base Set, the beginning of Pokemon TCG's history, Mitsuhiro Arita, you know, the creator of the Base Set Zard, the original Chonky Pikachu, is at least illustrating this. the Lumra, Bellow of the Woods, the bear attacking the rabbit people or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, we see this all the time, you know, like different illustrators of the Pokemon trading card game being hired for other games, or maybe vice versa. You know, they excelled in these other games and Pokemon brings them in, right, for sets and things like that. But really cool, because this is going to be his first card, right? So definitely different, I feel. Is it different, though?
I would say Arita's prominence as a Pokemon trading card game illustrator makes this, I think, a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Because he, like you said, his cards, his designs for Pokemon are pretty iconic. And I don't think that doesn't mean he's leaving Pokemon forever. I mean, he's an artist. He can do what he wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was really interesting that they brought him in for the set where every card is creatures.
That is true. Like he is like a big creatures guy, you know? Seems like.
Well, like they made a thematic choice to say, like, huh, what artist, if we could have any artist in the world to make special cards for us doing a set only about animals. Like, well, the most famous illustrator for cuddly animals and animal IP in the world is Arita. Let's get Arita in here to design some cards. And I don't know, I think it'll be cool. I'm sure, I'd be surprised if this is his only card. I bet he has like a number of cards in the set that he will have illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people who love collecting Arita art specifically, I think this is a fun little, like an outlet that you can like, oh, I can go, you know, and yeah, I would be very interested to see if they do any special cards that are more cartoony in style, like almost Pokemon in style,
mm-hmm.
as a secret layer or something for Magic with Arita. Like, to me, that would be like the ultimate get.
This reminds me a lot, the Magic the Gathering card that they showed kind of reminds me of Lugia V from Silver Tempest. One of the cards that he illustrated kind of has that like more realism effect, right? It's very hard to explain, but if you look, and on screen Sean can't see it, so he has no idea that I've been doing this, but I pulled up on pokemoncards.com every single card that he has illustrated, and especially in the last couple years, I feel like we've seen more of this kind of style of like realism in terms of illustrating Pokemon cards. Because if we kind of scroll, oh man, there's so many pages of Pokemon cards. You know, I think his style kind of fits this really, really well, especially like it's so much more different and so much more detailed and intense than like the GX days when he did all of those tag teams, right? I think he did every single tag team in terms of the base art. I think he did. So just again, a really neat little tidbit if you're a Mitsuhiro Arita collector. Another little outlet for you to collect. I always love seeing his, you don't know about this, Sean, but his Twitter. Twitter is so funny. I'm pretty sure it's controlled by somebody else, right? Because he's famous. He's big time, right? He's probably got somebody that does that. But anytime like someone talks about a card that he illustrated and tags his account, he always like quote tweets it, and he's like, I was hired to illustrate this card, and then he like provides his link. And it's just like really funny. It's so goofy. But anyways, Sean, let's get into what a lot of people, including myself, are excited for in the Pokemon trading card game rotation coming up. Sean, for anyone who does not know, rotation is a yearly event that happens in, it's yearly, right? I'm pretty sure it is.
almost always. Technically there have been years they've skipped, but almost always yearly.
I think that was the pandemic, right? They skipped because of the pandemic.
I think they've, I've heard they skipped another year sometime in the past as well, but it's very uncommon.
The yearly occurrence of cards leaving the standard format. So all of the cards that are leaving are through Battle Styles and Fusion Strike. Now, not every single card in those sets. They have to have the mark, right?
Well, yeah. So actually, there are cards from sets after Fusion Strike that are also rotating.
Oh, are there really?
Because they have the regulation mark E. Oh, not that many, but there are a few. There are a few.
Mm-hmm. Including Brilliant Stars and Later is what says on Justin's website that we have pulled up. So, Sean, let's talk about some of the more impactful cards that are leaving the format. What are kind of the first section, I guess, is... I don't know how you want to do this.
I mean, I think the biggest overarching thing that we're losing is largely like the whole single strike, rapid strike, fusion strike engine. Like all of those engines and their cards that go along with them. Like, I don't know if there's maybe like a random fusion single or rapid strike card that stays in format, that, you know, whether or not it's good or bad. But the whole concept around that engine is kind of, it is exiting effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So that means your single strike Urshifus, which, you know, for a time were really popular in Lugia decks, your rapid strike Urshifu, which I know that, like, you know, Robin Schultz might be very sad about, or you know, some of the European
players might be very sad.
Right. Like, you know, rapid strike Urshifu is leaving us now. So that is, I think, a pretty big deal. Along with, obviously, Mew VMAX will be leaving us. So in terms of the, I think that's the probably the biggest grouping of, like, archetypes that I can point out.
There's also a lot of cards in terms of, like, Pokemon Search. You know, very, very impactful item cards that we have had in so long for so many decks, especially with the re-involvement of EXs, you know, especially EXs that evolve from these baby Pokemon, including Battle VIP Pass. That's a card that's leaving. Also, Level Ball from Battle Styles, one of the cards that is leaving the format. The card that we called way back in the day. I think we're officially old now.
Predicted the card coming in, and we've seen it out now, Jake.
It is truly dark times at this point. But anyways, so cards
Fog
like
Crystal also.
Yeah, Fog Crystal also leaving in the Chilling Rain set, the Kirlia and the Gardevoir, right, that were so impactful in the Gardevoir EX deck. Those are also leaving on top of that. So we're seeing a lot of these like little things as well. Mew from Celebrations, one of the cards leaving, my baby Kyogre. Rest in peace, Kyogre. But these kind of item cards that help with that consistency for especially setup is going to be very, very interesting, because especially Level Ball and what's that other card? Battle VIP Pass. I know we're getting something else that's kind of like Battle VIP Pass, but losing both of those is going to be a pretty good hit, I feel like.
Yeah, because, I mean, like you said, we're getting a card, which we'll talk about next time, that can search two Pokemon out at any time. Mm-hmm. But those Pokemon have to be small Pokemon. Whereas Battle VIP Pass, like, you know, so long as it's the first turn of the game.
And it's a basic.
You can go get. And it's a basic, right? You can go get your Mew and Maridon, your Squawkabilly and Entei, whatever, right? Like, you can get Arceus and something else. So the versatility of that on turn one, I think, helped a lot of decks. So, you know, but I also think, though, that it was a weird thing for Battle VIP Pass of, while it's really good when it works, it felt like a very swingy card where if your opponent found it and you didn't, it kind of did feel like a really unfair situation where it's just like, we're both running four copies and you didn't get yours off, so your board state is not quite as set up. And there your opponent is, six Pokemon on board, you know, living life to the fullest, and you're over here like, man, I wish I could. And then you get that rude top deck turn two of a Battle VIP pass, right?
It's one of those things that I think, though, synergized well in decks. You know, as we saw decks evolve and decks morph and change over their time in the standard format with these cards, we started to see a lot of decks that played these kind of discarding effects really utilize Battle VIP Pass, right? Like the Kirlia, right? Although Kirlia loves getting the energies in the discard, the Battle VIP Pass post turn one is a great card to get rid of through that effect. The Ultra Balls as well, Ultra Ball coming back into the format, really works well with the with Battle VIP Passes that are just lying around in your hand. Cram-O-Matic, even, right, in Mew VMAX. So I do agree that the card is a very swingy card. Right, where like if your opponent hits two of them and you hit zero of them, there's kind of a difference in a lot of games just based off of that alone, aside from some other things like the Mirage Depth Kirlia, right?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting how the decks like utilize these different discarding effects to where instead of discarding valuable items or valuable pieces and resources through these effects, they instead just started using, you know, Battle VIP Pass. So it was kind of like a double-edged sword. Yeah, it really sucked not to hit it, but there are a lot of decks played different ways of getting rid of them eventually.
I wanted to move on now to like some of the supporters that we're losing, because I do think there's a lot, just in general, but there's kind of a smattering of them that I would say are really good, like, consistency supporters in weird ways, or like, you know, I don't know how to explain it better, but like, there's something in my mind that says that Clara, Melanie, and Raihan, they occupy a place in my mind of like, it's not your go-to supporter when you're building a deck initially, but a lot of decks really wanted one, two, maybe three copies in the case of Melanie, right? These cards that are like giving you value plus energy acceleration, or giving you, you know, recursion of your assets, or giving you card draw. Like, it seems like a lot of decks found really good places for cards like that. And, you know, Melanie and Raihan especially being decks that, you know, from time to time, for certain decks, the consistency it would give the deck to be like, oh, I can attach an extra energy and go get any card, or attach an extra energy and still draw three. You know, I don't know how many supporters we have that are as broadly applicable for those types of purposes in format after this leaves.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because, like, I actually don't feel like we lose too many supporters at all. Like, in my honest opinion, like, I think actually supporters, the more that I think about like the format now, right, and moving into rotation, how many decks can you think of play Raihan right now? Like, legitimate decks.
Yeah, I mean, that's
how
fair.
How many can you think of that play Melanie? Right, I can only think of one that plays either Raihan or Clara, and it's Sablezard, Lost Box.
Yeah.
So it's and even Mew VMAX, like, Mew VMAX was going away from Alyssa Sparkle, right?
It's true. I think, yeah. Look, not as many decks are playing them now, but what I liked about those cards is that I think right now we're in a format where, supporter wise I could be wrong, but it feels like you sit down and then there's a staple of like four or five supporters. Every deck almost plays the exact same four or five.
Iona, Research, Boss,
Judge,
the maybe, Judge,
Roxanne in certain decks. Mm-hmm. But like, generally speaking, all of these cards, except for boss, but all the other ones are kind of doing the same thing, right? Which is like, basically either ditching your hand and drawing a bunch, or putting a bunch of cards from your hand into or on your deck in some capacity and drawing a number, whatever mm-hmm. that number might be. And while I love that from, like, as a player, everyone likes consistency, I do think there is genuine value for the game to have additional supporters that are really interesting. Like, maybe the other two that you would consider right now that offer more value in different ways is, like, Arvin, I think, is seeing
Arvin.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain decks, you could maybe argue Irida is mm-hmm. a really good card. So Arvin and Irida are maybe that like your utility supporter in those circumstances. But I don't know. I liked Raihan and I liked Melanie and even Clara because they were supporters that they wouldn't go in every deck, but for certain decks, they'd be a really smart choice. And they weren't like Elisa's Sparkle, they weren't limited to just one archetype, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, if you're clever, you can build something really interesting and you have these tools. And I feel like we have a lot of hammers because the whole format kind of looks like a nail.
Not crushing hammers for anyone no. curious. Although I think crushing hammer is in format, right?
It is, and enhanced just nobody... hammer is getting a reprint.
Yeah, so, that's right.
I'm crazy.
One of the cards that is... Oh, actually, we can also include Cheryl in that conversation too. Cheryl was really instrumental for a time. Rapid Strike Urshifu VMAX, right before literally everything just one hit KO'd each other with these big VMAXes. I
mean, Avery also is rotating, and I think that's seen play in certain archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's oof. What were you gonna say though? Otherwise,
I was gonna say that one card. Whew, sorry, it's late over here for us. Well, late for Sean, not really for me. But the one card that I will not miss as it gets kicked out of the door is Path to the Peak. Sean, yes. That card is leaving. That stadium card. It's very interesting, though, that it's leaving because I do think in a lot of instances, Path to the Peak was a fair card, right? Yeah. I mean, it really checked a lot of decks that overutilized abilities, right? But now with Path to the Peak leaving... What do we really have besides like Klefki?
I mean, we got Klefki.
But Klefki is only basic Pokemon, right? Correct me
if
I'm wrong.
Yeah, and we have we have the Mimikyu that maybe is sticking around, and then there's another Pokemon that's also coming out in Temporal Forces that turns off all abilities if it's in the active.
Uh huh.
And it's all abilities, including evolution. So like, but again. When you put a thing that it has to be in the active on the card, that Pokemon, the value of it kind of drops dramatically. It's not like you can just kind of run it anywhere and do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we have anything quite as all-encompassing as Path to the Peak. But while I'm glad it's gone, for me... what was I gonna say? I don't know, just Path to the Peak for me was
kind of frustrating at times.
Yeah, because I think it's partially because Pokemon has moved in a direction where abilities, it's not just like abilities are like really cool and they give you value. Like the entire archetype for so many different decks now revolve around abilities like
Arceus.
Arceus is great, but like outside of, because you can play Arceus in a deck that then you throw Path down after, right? Mm-hmm. After you get your thing. But like Gardevoir EX, like you cannot play that deck if you are a Path locked. You just effectively can't, basically.
There's no way to get energies back.
Exactly. There's no way. Other decks that I think certainly struggle, I think Maridon, even though you can play Maridon Path, like the Path Judge version, if your opponent throws a Path down before you get a chance to go, Maridon can basically be locked out of the game because its ability, it's as a setup Pokemon, right? Like, you don't find what you need, you're kind of screwed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then a lot of these future Pokemon and ancient Pokemon feel very ability heavy, and I think Path to the Peak would it staying in format would actually make the game long term feel way more stale, because decks like Giratina V-Star, as good as it is, are not particularly exciting to watch or play comparatively. They're not bad. They're just, I don't think that they're as exciting to watch or play, in my opinion. That's not saying that they are not complicated, that they are not, they don't take skill. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying, as somebody in the game, you play against a Giratina V-Star, they do what they do. They throw a path down, and if it sticks, you're just kind of sat there like, well, I mean, I know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to power something else up and attack and power something else. You know, like, there's not a lot of, I don't know. That's what I
thought. I'm really curious to see how deck building goes from here after Path to the Peak, because we see a lot of decks that just kind of auto lose to Path to the Peak, right? Like Lugia and, you know, like some decks like Maridon and things like that. Maybe not auto lose, but like pretty close. That will literally run stadiums, not necessarily for the direct or passive benefits that that stadium provides to the player, but literally just to counter Path to the Peak, because we don't have something like Field Blower in format.
We have Lost Vacuum.
Well, I mean, we have Lost Vacuum, but like I was saying, like it's just, yeah, except you have to give up. Well, Lost,
yeah, you do.
I think Field Blower is actually better than Lost Vacuum for sure.
Yeah, assuming that there's no stadium recursion.
Yeah, because you don't have to get, yeah, because like with Field Blower, you don't have to get rid of anything in your hand. True. And you can get rid of two things, which is crazy.
As a design space, I think Path to the Peak, I think it's useful to have checks and balances from time to time in a format. But it feels like Path to the Peak was really putting a stranglehold on what the designers wanted to do with the game for the next year or two. And also, like you were saying, like if other people are playing Path, you feel compelled to play Stadium cards yourself, whether or not it makes sense for your deck.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm like,
just,
yeah, you see decks that are like, oh, I guess I play a Stadium because I don't want to get stuck with Path.
I'm curious to know whether or not in the future, like after rotations, we see just an overall drop in Stadiums per deck. Right, because there are still decks that do want to play stadiums, you know, but especially without Path to the Peak and not having to worry about a stadium counter card per se. I'm curious to see where that number goes overall and how like deck building adjusts to maybe not necessarily stadiums in the format. Because I think there was a time like after Power Plant and stuff rotated and the Prism Star stadiums that we didn't really have stadiums in format for a time being until Chilling Rain came out, and then we really started playing stadiums again. Or maybe a little bit before that, but you know what I mean. I think there's been times where we don't really have stadiums going on in format, except for a select few decks.
I would say the only, I think a big stadium that might become popular soon is what's it called? Town Store or Town?
Oh, the one that grabs an item card or a tool
or
card?
A tool. Yeah, because I think that we are entering into a more tool-heavy era of the game, at least for the next year or two. As the designers, like, they made tools their own thing, right? And after they made them their own thing, they're like, okay, now let's print some really interesting tool cards. And I think that that is becoming more and more like tools are becoming stronger and stronger and more interesting. So I do think that we are maybe moving away from your point. We're moving away from a stadium era into a tool era. But if you are going to play stadiums, I think Town Store weirdly might become one of the, like a good stadium in certain decks like that. And the Pokemon Go stadium, the gambling stadium.
Do we still have V's in format?
Yeah, we have Arceus, V, and V-Star.
Okay. I was going to say, because like, Town Square is huge for stuff that plays like the Forest Seal Stone, right?
Yep.
And that's, I mean, that's a huge one. So I was curious of like, wait, we still have V's, right? Because
Yeah,
like,
we will.
if there are no V's, then Forest Seal Stone value goes non-existent. And then if Forest Seal Stone values go away, then also so inherently does Town Square, I think it's called, the stadium that you were talking about, or
Yeah,
Town
I mean,
Store.
yeah, we do have V's, so Forest Sealstone sticks around. So yeah, it'll still have value, and people will, you can play Town Store, you can play Arven, or maybe some very specific things for your deck. But the next one I wanted to mention, because this is a big one, Jake, is we are losing Escape Rope.
Oh yeah, escape rope in battle
Yeah.
styles. That's an
Yeah.
old one.
That's a big one, because Escape Rope is one of those cards that, like, it feels like it kind of comes in and out of formats. Like, it's been printed a bunch of times. There was a window before it came back out in battle styles for maybe a year or two, and it wasn't. But when you and I started playing the game, it was in format. So it's rotating out again. But I think this is a really big one for a lot of decks that, like, a Lost Box deck, that's big. Not having Escape Rope. The whole like Entei Iron Valiant strategy really loved having four more cards that switch out Pokemon. And I think the other thing that losing Escape Rope is going to do, Jake, is it's going to force people to reconsider Iron Bundle as a valid deck card.
We
You
also
remember what Iron
lose.
Bundle does?
It goes to the bottom of your deck. Does Iron Bundle go to
Oh,
the bottom or is it discarded?
it's discarded from
Discarded.
play.
So discarded from play, and then it forces your opponent to switch something into their active. Yeah. You don't have to do anything for it, right? Like you just
No,
have to put them
no.
in the bin.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. So yeah, so it's just like a one-sided escape rope per se. We also, though, kind of talking in this same thing that I thought about, we also lose cross switchers
Yep.
in Fusion Strike, so a second kind of switcheroo effect. This one a little bit more forced on your opponent because they don't get to choose what they're bringing up, but still that kind of gusting, annoying kind of essence, trying to get something trapped in the active or just disrupt your game plan overall. Those two things leave, and I kind of like the idea, especially because we have Prime Catcher and then Counter Catcher in
Yep,
format.
and Bog.
Yeah, and just Boss's Orders, being around all the time. So is and Pokemon Catcher, right? Is Pokemon Catcher still in format?
I believe Pokemon character sticks around. I could be wrong, but there's another option.
Yeah, of just like different gusting options are still available, right? It's not like 2019 where all we had was custom catchers, right, as the gusting in the format. Man, when
Yeah.
those cards blew up, that was insane. That was a wild time. But definitely some impactful gusting effects leaving the format. But honestly, like especially with those cards, right, I think of like cards that really love using them, and you talk about the Lost Box decks, right? You still have Switch. You still have a switch cart, things like that. You still have some switching type options, as well as, like I mentioned, with the Prime Catcher and also utilizing some gusting effects and stuff like that. But even like control decks, right? I feel like control decks primarily like seeing now Counter Catcher as its point. I mean, obviously the escape rope was nice and it was definitely useful, but you still have plenty of options. And then I'd imagine that something else will get printed, that's some sort of item gusting effect. Maybe even like a two of, item gusting effect, like cross switchers, like custom catchers that'll come back.
I mean, yeah, like it definitely is possible. I think it's crazy that it's rotating a little bit because it has a big impact. But I do like like you said, we have Counter Catcher. We also have, like, you know, Boss and the Prime Catcher. But I like the fact that Iron Bundle will probably see more play because I think it's an interesting card, right? Like a Pokemon that discards itself to force only your opponent to switch. And they're printing more cards where, like, they have effects if it's in the active position. So they're trying to encourage, I think, players to actually lean into those cards that have abilities that only work in the active and have a negative effect on your opponent.
Well, you can't use Iron Bundle if like Klefki's in the active, right? You
Well,
can't
not
use Iron.
Klefki. Oh, that's true.
Yeah, like
You're right.
if a Pokemon in the active has the like turn off abilities effect for either basics or evolutions, then you can't use Iron Bundle at all.
Oh, no, that's fair. That's fair. Interesting. I don't know. I just, yeah. Yeah,
Point
yeah.
being,
I don't
there's
know.
gonna be some ways and different cards that you gotta think about and potentially include in your decks to move around in the format, especially moving around your opponent's Pokemon. But Sean, are we burning a card this year?
Yeah. I'm not doing it on this episode, but
Oh,
we will be burning the card. Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So let us know either on Twitter, the YouTube comments, or something what card you want to see burned as it rotates. Do you have a card, Sean, that you want burned?
I mean, I have thoughts.
What are
We
your
could discuss
thoughts?
them. But I don't share. I
I
don't
want to
share thoughts
know. I'm
pre-burning.
nosy.
No.
What? Okay.
We don't share pre-burning, Jake. The burn is always the surprise.
Oh, I was gonna. Well, I don't even know. I was gonna say, like, I don't even know if I have a card that I really want to burn, to be
I
honest.
mean, it's a weird one. I don't know if we I don't know if there's a card in this format that feels as bad as prior formats, but
Yeah.
you know. I have a thought, and we can discuss, Jake.
Do you have
We
a
can
card
discuss.
that you hate to see go?
Man, I it's a tough one. I do hate to see. There's a couple of very specific cards that I hate to see go. I hate to see Shining Arcana Gardevoir go, and I hate to see the Flaffy go that accelerates lightning energy. But I will admit that those two cards make their respective decks pretty overpowered.
I would say the Gardevoir especially.
Exactly, yeah. So I think it's good that they're rotating because you need to make space for new things, new archetypes, etc. So I don't know, maybe we're losing Clara and we're losing Rescue Carrier. Nobody plays Rescue Carrier, so I'm not like it's necessarily like the best card, but we're losing two cards that put Pokemon from your discard pile back into your hand or onto the bench directly and not just shuffling them in, right? And so like maybe they'll print something that probably is similar to that, but I do like that as a concept because it encourages people to play weirder decks that maybe you don't have. There's never enough copies of a certain card that can go into that deck, you know? So you need quick and easy recursion, so.
I'm honestly gonna really miss celebrations as a set. Funny enough,
Yeah.
I look at the cards that are rotating in celebrations, like the Yveltal from Celebrations was really funny, you know, in control decks for a little bit, discarding those special energies. You had Mew from Celebrations, really, really good card,
Was great.
trying to find,
Yeah.
you know, your battle VIP passes, your rare candies and level balls and stuff. Zacian V was pretty good in different decks for a while. Kyogre, one of my favorites, my world pick, right?
Yeah.
Has a special place in my heart. That card is so stinking goofy. But another goofy card, Flying Pikachu. I'm gonna
Yeah.
miss that guy.
I
The big
mean,
balloon.
yeah, I think Mew is a really interesting card that like it feels not that far away from Jirachi.
Yeah, well,
You know, remember Team Up
it's the
Jirachi?
successor of Jirachi for
Right.
sure.
But the problem with I think what when Mew was printed, it existed in a world where it was kind of surrounded by other cards that maybe did its job better. And what I mean by that is like either you had straight draw power in Barrel and Kirlia and whatever, or like Mew only gets you item cards. So like A, the second they change the tool ruling, you're all of a sudden like, well, that's one card I can't grab. And then you also they printed cards like Irida and
Arvin.
Arvin. Yeah, like not they were all kind of in format for a decent amount of time together, where it just kind of felt like the thing that Mew was supposed to be so good at, which is like being a the one that you send up after every Pokemon gets knocked out. It's your little consistency engine. All these like little changes to rules and cards they added just kind of chipped away at its goodness to the point that it ended up kind of being a card that you don't really see, you didn't really end up seeing as often, which was a little sad.
I'm just glad I wasn't as good as Jirachi.
I mean,
Jirachi was a insane card, especially with the escape
Elder.
board. No,
Yeah,
well, I
no.
mean, yeah, because Jirachi grabbed any trainer
Two
card,
trainers.
but with escape board, because Jirachi put itself to sleep, and then escape board was like, regardless of your special condition, you can retreat. So whether he's paralyzed or asleep, that sucker could move in and out of the active every time. So I'm glad it wasn't as good as that, but it's definitely like Celebrations, in my opinion, was such an underrated set for competitive Pokemon.
For a
I thought it
mini
was,
set.
yeah, for a mini set. It's probably what I consider as one of the best mini sets that we've had in recent memory. That could be up for debate, but I think it
I love
beats
that.
Hidden Fates.
Yeah.
Because Hidden Fates had the Jesse and James, which was really awesome.
Which eventually got, I think, banned or something like
Well,
that.
it definitely got banned and expanded. I don't think
Yeah.
it got banned. It didn't get banned in standard. That was Bilobo and Bryson, man. But it did get
I
banned and
mean,
expanded.
Hidden Fates was good. Hidden Fates had some good cards, but yeah, Celebration's great, great mini set.
Yeah.
Fully agree.
And just a great set overall because it gave all those. Like, the more that I think about it, the more I just. Man, I loved Celebrations. I didn't really open any of it. But like having those cards come back, you know, those legendary cards, that was so cool.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the cards in the mini set part of it were really cool. So it's like, man, can we do another one?
Hey,
Please?
30th anniversary. That's the goal, right?
I still have to wait like, what is it, 2 years? Is it 2, 3 years? 4 years?
Three or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, that's going to be so long. But anyways, when that happens, we will talk to you about that on the Metapod Podcast. Anything else you want to talk about, Sean?
That's it.
Thank you so much for listening or watching to the Metapod Podcast. The Pokemon Podcast revolves around the evolving meta. I'm Jake, that's Sean, and we'll see you next week.